Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Oh, yes, it is. Hump day and a day after, morning after, the Nuggets come up off the mat like I told you they would. This is a resilient group. It's a gritty group. This is not a group that's going to go away easy. And they showed it last night. Got a little dicey near the end there. But they made the big plays at the end. They pull away. They get the victory. And, Mark, while they're down 2-1, you can easily point to the fact that they outplayed the Lakers for large stretches of the second half in Game 2. They were one miscommunication on a switch slash great shot by Anthony Davis from being up 2-1, perhaps. So where are you right now with the Nuggets after that win last night?
No, it was exciting. It was a great win last night. And, you know, the Joker was sublime. I mean, he was great once again. His ability, so was Murray. He was total energy. You know, they just out-hustled the Lakers. That's what it came down to. They out-hustled, out-shot. They did everything well within that game. And now they have to lose the next game.
Get in that comfortable 3-1 window.
Get in that comfortable 3-1 window down so they can come back and be, I mean, do something that no other team, they've already done something that no other team has ever done. Maybe something that no other team will ever be able to repeat. So that's all. You just have to do this for history.
Michael Malone had no doubts that his team would come out and respond.
I had no doubt that we were going to show up tonight. And the reason I didn't have any doubt is because we won 6 straight elimination games. Everybody always has us packing our bags and leaving, but we're not ready to go. For some reason, we love this bubble. I can't explain that, but this team loves the bubble. And yesterday when we met and we watched the film, I started off by watching the last play of the game. You know, get the elephant in the room out of the way. Let's talk about this play, what happened. And when we're in this situation again, let's learn from it. Yes, we all take ownership. Let's learn from it. But after that, my goal was when we got done with that film, they saw so many positive clips of us doing the right things, which put us in a position to win. And now we had to do that for more than just a second half. We had to do it for 4 quarters. And tonight we did it at a high level for 3 in the 4th quarter. Obviously, we'll work on our zone offense tomorrow and taking care of the basketball. But a very resilient group. And I think this group has proven that time and time again.
That's Michael Malone.
That is Michael Malone. He is one cool cat. Isn't he?
Nuggets love the bubble.
They love the bubble.
I love the bubble.
Who doesn't love the bubble?
Stay in the bubble.
The bubble is awesome.
Bubble life is good.
The bubble's your friend.
Nuggets out-rebounded the much taller Lakers 44-25.
That goes against all things that Vance Joseph believes.
As a team, we're getting tall.
Winning is tall.
And for one day, Nugget fans can stop crying the referee blues. Oh, the refs, they're out to get us.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers were called for more fouls. The Nuggets went to the free throw line 29 times to the Lakers 22. Funny.
Oh.
When you're aggressive and you play with pace and tempo and energy, and you take the ball strong to the basket. Jeremy Grant had 12 free throw attempts on his own. Funny how the whistle seems to blow your way.
Any Nugget fanboys out there? I don't have the text lineup. Any complaining about the officiating?
Let's see that the
Nuggets really were the beneficiaries of favorable officiating, or are they just okay with it when they have a lopsided advantage?
I don't see any complaining about the officiating right
weird.
Now.
Next question. Weird. Yeah, weird.
Yeah. This text. Took Evans only 3 seconds to remind everyone he told us something right.
Yeah, I did. I told you.
Listen to me.
Oh, hey, listen. When you're right.
Listen to me.
When you're right.
I mean, look,
Do you want the right information? Do you want the right side of things? If you want to hear the wrong stuff, go somewhere else. But if you want to hear the right stuff, here it is. Stick around.
I think people are a little bit annoyed because we got a little "I told you so" going on right now.
Well, I did tell you that they would.
I know.
I told people, relax.
I'm not upset with you, Mike.
Okay.
I am not upset with you.
What the hell is going on right now?
Yeah, George Carl, by the way, will join us coming up at 8:30.
I think George Carl guaranteed a Nuggets victory last night.
He did.
I just keep staying on my Lakers sweep because it motivates the Nuggets.
Well, now it's what? Lakers in five? Is that what you're going to go with?
Well, yeah, it's got to be.
Sweep? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, you've got to drop this next game. I mean, it's imperative for you to drop this next game so you can be in straight elimination games. Because they're undefeated in elimination games. Right? So you got to drop the next one to win the series. Everybody knows that.
Rich, text in. Hey, Stink, that's Mr. Blue Arrow to you.
Mr. Blue Arrow.
And he says, heavy on the mister.
Yeah, it still doesn't do anything for me.
He was nails, though.
Oh, my gosh.
He was nails.
He was, wasn't he?
When that lead got down to three and Caldwell Pope had a wide-open three that would have tied it at 101, then Murray came back with a couple of big jumpers, beautiful pass in the lane, setting up another bucket. You know, he closed.
Yeah.
He was the closer.
He was the closer. We'll call him Wade different. Wade Davis, only the exact opposite of that.
That's right.
We'll call him
Wade. That's right. He's
Davis Wade.
He's like Wade Davis, but completely opposite.
Right. He's Davis Wade. He's the closer. The good one. Gosh. Yeah, he was great. That was fun. Fun to watch.
Okay. So the Nuggets, they'll have game four coming up, tomorrow night. And we'll see if they can tie it up. We'll have, George Carl join us coming up at 8:30. So look forward to that. Mark has begun breaking down the Broncos on film as he gets ready to call Broncos Buccaneers on Fox on Sunday. What are some of the early impressions of this Broncos offense? He'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.
Yes, that's Mr. Blue Arrow to you.
Yeah, I don't, again, I'm not sold on that nickname.
Okay. So much more on the Nuggets' big win last night. We'll hear from Jamal Murray and what Michael Malone is prepared to call Jamal Murray right now. So we'll get to all that coming up here in just a bit.
Yes,
Michael Malone.
He's gonna change it. So he's been listening. He wants to change his nickname too.
I can definitely tell you, I can definitely tease it that this is not about changing Mr. Blue Arrow's nickname.
Well, you're gonna have a tough time keeping people to stay over now because they were thinking about changing the nickname just like me, and now you've just gone ahead and blown it.
You are calling the Broncos Bucks game on Fox this Sunday.
Yes.
And you are.
By the way, Broncos been very accommodating. Thank you to the Broncos. They've just rolled out the red carpet for the Fox team. So I know they do that for everybody because they're classy, but really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
Patrick Smyth does an amazing job over there.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, we'll be at practice, obviously social distance. We'll probably be up on the hill there, you know, watching practice. And then they set up our Zoom. We don't have to rush right back downtown to do Zoom meetings with everybody. They set it up at the facility for us, which is, like, nobody's even offered to do that. So that's really, really a cool thing.
So you are somebody, you are a film rat. You love breaking down hours upon hours of film.
in preparing for these games. And so you've started to do a real deep dive into the Broncos for the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm really curious to hear some of your initial observations, especially from the offense.
So I've done one of the things I do, what I start with, obviously I watch the game. I watch the telecast and just mostly to listen to the names, Mike, to hear the names and just get a flow for what went on during the game, you know, key third downs and all that kind of stuff. Then I go through the game and I don't go through it sequentially. I go through it, base. What are you base? At your core, what are you as a base team? What formations do you like to be in? What do you do out of those formations and those personnel groupings? So in base, I consider first down and 10 and second down and 5 minus is kind of base stuff. Okay, that's what you are at your core. So the Broncos in those situations, 70% of the time, they're an 11 personnel team. An 11 personnel spread team. 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 1 back, which has been the history of Pat Shurmur. Okay? And that's what they want to be.
And for context,
in.
Real quick, interrupt, that's what Mike McCoy was a lot when he was here as well.
That's what Mike McCoy was. Yeah, absolutely. And Billy Musgrave, for that matter, was, you know, some of that as well. So that's what you want your identity to be. Which, you know, is great. My thought process, and I've wrote myself a couple notes just on all the base things. Here's the things I wrote down. First off, let me just tell you that in, I think it's 36 plays of first down base, you were 25 of 36, you were in 11 personnel. And of that in trips, of that 25 plays, you were in 11 times you were in trips, which is a totally spread, like tight end, F receiver, Z receiver on one side, split out X receiver on the other side. So you're a complete spread team. Okay? And that's what you fancy yourself as. And obviously, that's what you drafted. Right? You went after wide receivers, you're gonna put them on the football field.
They're staying consistent with their message.
Okay. So one of the things that I wrote here is, you are not the Chiefs. Quit acting like them. That's one of my notes. All right? You can't get 5 guys out and hold up in protection. So now, what are you going to do to change? So I will tell you this. When you give up 7 sacks and 19 quarterback hits, yeah, your O-line stinks. That's easy, right? You're not very good. But your coordinator is not putting yourself in a position to win. Like, I put that as much on the coordinator. Okay, we can't block them. All right, you can't block them. I saw first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. You know what I saw? I saw a consistent message. We're an 11 team. That's what we are. We're a spread offense. That's what we are. Even though we can't block them, that's what we are. And so I would say that a lot of that falls on the coordinator. Dude, if you cannot block people in those formations with those personnel groupings, guess what? You better find one you can.
You think Pat Shurmur's got the freedom to be able to coach this offense the way he should? Or was he hired with the idea of, this is what we want to do? This is the identity we're trying to create. The Chiefs are the team, the model that we're going after. This is how we drafted. This is how we want you to coach.
I think they wanted big plays. You're going to have to, another note that I wrote to myself, you're going to have to create explosive plays through design. Not just let's line up spread, because there's plenty of lineup spread and chuck it down the field. Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, there were plenty of those plays, Jerry Jeudy, that you did that on. Guess what? You're just not going to be consistently able to hold up. Now, you do those. They're usually off a 5-step pretty quick throw when you throw one 40 yards down the football field. So maybe you can still take those shots and spread. But for the most part, to me, you're going to have to do a much better job. And we'll see this weekend, because I'm telling you right now that if you thought Pittsburgh was good, you thought they have talent, wait till you watch Tampa play.
Tampa's better.
Tampa has a chance to be the 2013 Seattle Seahawks Legion of Boom. They have a chance to be the 2015 Broncos No Fly Zone. They have all pro players at every level of their defense. They've got JPP is playing at a high level. Obviously, Shaq Barrett playing at a high level. Vita Vea. And Ndamukong Suh wrecked the game last weekend. They're two inside linebackers. I'll put them against any two inside linebackers in all of football. Lavonte David is one of the best players in the game. Devin White is one of the most athletic players I've ever seen. Carlton Davis.
Ever seen?
Ever seen at the linebacker position. Dude, he is an absolute freak show. And then Carlton Davis is becoming a top five corner, cover corner in the league. And plus they're all young, they're all fast, and they're all aggressive on their back end. They have a chance. Now, they play so aggressive and so fearlessly, they're going to give up some big plays. But the whole philosophy is we'll give you a couple of big plays, but if we give up two big plays, we're going to make six. And we're going to come out in the wash. We're going to come out way ahead. And that's how they play. So my point in telling you all this is not, you know, to fearmonger, to put your words, you know, back at you. I'm not trying to fearmonger. What I'm telling you is if you come out and think that you're going to spread and play 11, I think you're going to lose by double digits. Like, you are going to have to come in and condense. You're going to have to come in with multiple tight ends. You're going to have to come in and play some 22. You're going to have to slow this game down to get this game big in the middle of football field.
So from strictly a Bronco perspective, it sounds like you're more worried about the Bucs defense than you are the Buccaneers Tom Brady-led offense.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the offense is going to get all the accolades because Tom Brady is the world's greatest American. So they'll get all the accolades, but that defense has the potential to be incredibly special.
All right. Well, looking forward to more observations from what you're seeing as you really, really dive in to the Broncos on film. We'll do more of that as we move along throughout the course of the morning. Up next, we got the morning brew for you. And much more on what the Nuggets were able to do and what category Michael Malone is ready to put Jamal Murray in. That's all coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
We knew going in what we're going to get every night from the cola, from Jamal. And then you always wonder, well, who's going to step up and be that third scorer? And tonight for us, obviously, Jeremy came through in a big, big way on both ends of the floor. So, I'm proud of Jeremy. It was great to see him have some success offensively because he's been working so hard at it. So his hard work was paid off tonight.
There's Michael Malone. Far be it for me to remind people when I'm right.
Yeah, but, you're not that. You don't
but,
do that.
But haven't I been all season long saying the absolute key to the Nuggets is finding a reliable third guy? And, you know, for all the talk about Michael Porter Jr. perhaps being that guy, last night they got it, and boy, did they get it in Jeremy Grant. The former Cuse star had 26 points, 10 of 12 from the free throw line, and what has to be, I hope somebody took a photo of it because he needs to get that thing blown up and like plastered all over his house, of him driving to the basket with LeBron on one side and Anthony Davis on the other, and him going up strong through and over both of them to lay it in.
You know what was the most impressive to me is getting to the charity stripe. Because getting the charity stripe it says to me, I'm not going to settle for a good shot. I'm going to create a great opportunity. And that's the aggressiveness, I think, for a third scorer that you need, Mike. There's so many times where, you know, the passing is crisp and the Joker is so good at that you get a good shot. you know, and sometimes it's a wide open shot, but that aggressiveness to get to the hoop for him, get to the foul line, that was a big difference maker to me. You set a tone, a kind of a quote unquote toughness tone, the way you approach the game. And I just appreciated that aspect of it. So hopefully there's a confidence building aspect to that where you can continue that.
By the way, while we're talking about big contributions from, unlikely sources, Monte Morris, 14 big points, including, it was 12 in the first half. Next on the Morning Brew.
Bortles in the gun, back to his right, and they show it. He shows it to the back, pulls it back, going deep down the middle of the field. Tip, intercepted on a deflection by Jeff Heath. Coming left to the 45, to the 40 with a convoy, to the 25, left sideline. Heath, all the way down inside the 10-yard line.
Cowboys radio, Millennial Ben, mean. Couldn't get a Blake Bortles touchdown. He's thrown 103 of them in his career. Instead, you had to pick one of his 75 interceptions. I was listening to a lot of the shows after us yesterday, and there seems to be the prevailing opinion that Bortles is just kind of passing through, that he's a Band-Aid just kind of here as insurance, but that as soon as Drew Locke is ready to come back, Blake Bortles moves on. Do you see a more permanent gig for him here?
No, I think he's a backup. I think it's good to have a backup like that that can come in, that can play, and that's seen a bunch of stuff. Do I think they're going to release him when Drew Locke is healthy? No, absolutely not. I don't think that. He's a veteran guy. Well, again, this is the way I think. And the way I think and obviously the way the organization thinks are two different things. But I believe in having that guy. I believe in having that veteran quarterback, that veteran set of eyes that can help you understand from a higher standpoint. Doesn't mean he has to be a great player. He hasn't been a great player. But he's seen a lot, good and bad, and I think that's good for a young quarterback. I've been very consistent on this. Your refusal to pay $3 or $4 million for a set of eyes that can really help develop a young quarterback is baffling to me. And it's, you know, again, I don't know that it would have made a difference in Paxton or in whoever, right? I don't know that it would have made a difference in Trevor Siemian or whatever, but I just know from a player standpoint, from a player-to-player standpoint, you have a far greater connection with players who have been there, that have done it, that have experienced the highs and the lows, and they can explain it in a different way that sometimes when something doesn't make sense to you, it makes perfect sense when it's explained to a player who's been through it.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, he's the big body, but he can run. That's the thing, man. At Iowa, we saw it there. He can get downfield on you. Also, his route tree is pretty good, too. So, you know, if he wants to be physical that day, he can be pretty dang good, and he can run fast. So he's got a lot of different weapons he can use. And, you know, I think he's just on the tip of that iceberg right now.
Hawkeyes unite. There's Josie Jewell talking about fellow Iowa star Noah Fant. With Cortland Sutton out for the year, is Noah Fant now the centerpiece of this Bronco passing game?
Yeah, he should be. I think that's something that you've been very on top of. You've been very ahead of the curve on the way Noah Fant should be used. And they got him and Pat Shurmur, I'll give Pat Shurmur credit for this. They got him matched up on Bush on that 2-point conversion and, you know, perfectly executed, perfect matchup down there on the 2-yard line or whatever it is. To get that matchup, and it wasn't even close. And Bush can run. That linebacker can run like the wind. Another touchdown, he ran a corner route, and that was a busted coverage. It looked like Bush was, you know, got torched on that. That wasn't his man. He was chasing it because he realized the safety bit up on the underneath route. So they were running basically a, what you would call a choice out. So choice out has a corner that runs behind it. So you have a little out route, a little stick route that's you have to be underneath. Safety jumped under there, as did the corner, and Fant ran to the corner, and the safety was supposed to be there, but Bush is chasing him, like, I mean, chasing for his life, and he just couldn't keep up with Fant. So, yeah, to say that should they do, yes, they should make him the focal point, especially in the middle of the field.
And the other thing they should, Pat Shurmur should do, is just take a long look at that Raider game the other night against New Orleans and look at the way that John Gruden used Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Darren Waller had 16 targets, 12 catches for 103 yards. He only averaged 8.6 yards per catch, but the idea was, I'm gonna use my tight end almost like a slot receiver. I'm just gonna move him all over the place, and I'm just gonna maybe dink and dunk, take an occasional shot here and there, but I am going to make sure that, well, to use a basketball term, that my offense runs through Darren Waller. And why not do the same thing with Fant?
If Noah Fant can have 12 catches on 16 targets for 100 and change and a touchdown, you stay in the game. Like that would be awesome if you could have that kind of production like the Raiders did with Waller. That would be great.
And there's no reason why Fant can't do exactly what Waller did. Next on the Morning Brew.
Kyle, in one word for me, willed his way through that one. You know, he was, you know, a little off on his game tonight. If you guys talk to him, he'll probably say it. A lot of 3-2 counts. Ball strike ratio was not great. The Giants did a good job of laying off pitches. They worked the count. They worked deep counts. They fouled balls off. But like I said, Kyle willed his way through that game.
Kyle, there's Bud Black doing his post-game press conference, I guess from a church in San Francisco. It sounded very church-like in the background there.
Did it, like he was on a pew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or up on the dais?
On the dais
there, yeah.
Dais? Is it dais or dais?
I think it's dais.
The dais.
Dais.
That would have been great if that was in the background.
Kyle, in one word for me, willed his way through that one.
I'm inspired.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Good, man. You get a little faith in there.
Well, now read from the book of Corinthians.
Yes. First Corinthians.
Okay. It's been a horrible finish for this 60-game season. But Kyle Freeland. So much was talked about that, hey, Kyle Freeland has to have a bounce-back year.
Yeah.
And he has started 12 games. His ERA is at 3.69. And his win-loss record this year is 2-2. All in all, do you feel good about what Kyle Freeland himself was able to do to kind of get his career back on track?
Absolutely. I feel really good about? That he went back, he worked his mechanics, he made them simpler, he took out some of those hitches, you know, with his foot where he kind of almost touched the ground and then went back to it. He took out a few hitches. And I just thought his stuff was sharper and it played better. Like it was, forget about spin rates and all that garbage that baseball is all hung up on. Bottom line is it created deception. Everything looked the same coming out of his hand. And I think that's the biggest thing. He was able to execute his pitches. I thought he did a great job this year.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next. What Michael Malone is ready to call Jamal Murray and interesting observations of the young receivers as Mark does a deep dive into his Bronco film work. That's next. These Denver Nuggets will not die. And I felt real good. I think a lot of us felt real good about their willingness, their resilience that they would show in coming out and playing well. That this would not be a team that would just hang their head and be defeated by what happened at the end of game two and just be like, oh, woe is us. That's just not what this team is about, and it's certainly not what they've shown since they've been in the bubble. So they respond, and no surprise, it's Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray once again leading the way. And how about Michael Malone? And he's been so good at this throughout this entire run. How he really is out front, pumping up, selling, defending, promoting everything about these Nuggets to a national audience. And here's what he had to say about Jamal Murray.
He's starting to get the respect from the other teams and their game planning. They're blitzing him. They're double teaming him. They're giving him so many different looks.
And that's what, you know, part of being an all NBA type of player is about. And when you do that, you have to be a willing passer. So he gets 12 assists tonight, 4 turnovers. Obviously, as a team, we were up big in that fourth quarter. We allowed them to make it a game. They went to their zone. They turned up the pressure. And I believe we had 9 turnovers in the fourth quarter alone, which can't happen. We eventually settled down, and Jamal made some big, big baskets down the stretch. But, yeah, I would say Jamal is a complete basketball player. He's not just a scorer. He's a playmaker. He can rebound for his position. And I think this 16, 17 playoff games has been the best stretch of defense that I've ever seen him play.
He went on to say that he's a superstar, that the Nuggets have 2 superstars.
Superstar.
You ready to put Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in that superstar duo that NBA people talk about? LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You ready to put these two?
Well, he's been that in the bubble, Mike. He has definitely been that in the bubble. Now, when the regular season starts next year, and you know the NBA forgets about the Nuggets, the NBA is not going to be able to forget about the Nuggets if the Nuggets can come back and win this series and go to the But he has
Genie will be out of the bottle by then.
Right. But he has certainly put himself in that conversation. But you know, it's oftentimes like when you really become the superstar, it's not the first year that you're actually recognized. It's the next year when you back it up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that with Pro Bowls all the time. Most of the guys that get voted in the Pro Bowl for the first time, it was the year before that they really earned the nomination. Everybody recognized them, but they didn't get voted in that year. Then it's the next year that they get voted in. So that to me is what he's done is absolutely superstar worthy here in the bubble. Will he continue it next year? Can you continue that when you're not in the bubble? That's what remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that both Jokic and Murray have both made a leap. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Jokic has made the leap from star, all-star, to superstar.
Right.
I have no problem calling him a superstar. That's what he is. He's one of the, and he's one of the only handful of few right now in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Murray has gone from being a good player, but a maddeningly inconsistent player to, you're looking at a star. A star in the making and a potential superstar. No doubt. A potential superstar.
Yes.
But,
dude,
what he's done is a great playoff run. Make no mistake. But I can't put him in that category yet. But no doubt he's made
right.
a leap. Hugely.
Here's the cool thing for me. Like, I know that there's a lot of desire for Michael Porter Jr. to be that next guy, and he may be, Mike. He's, you know, obviously he's a very skilled, athletic offensive player, and he's young. You know, and we're gonna see that progression. But could you imagine if you get that kind of effort, like? If last night was the catalytic event in Jeremy Grant's career where he says, man, I can play with the big boys. He got double teamed at one point by LeBron and by AD, and he split the double team and made the right pass, I think, for a dunk. And you're looking at it going, can you imagine if that guy, like this is the event in his life that says, I belong with the big boys, and he starts playing because we've said it for years now. If they could find themselves a reliable, and usually it was a reliable knockdown shooter, maybe we were wrong about that. And I know, I mean, you guys listen to the show enough. This may be, you know, mark this date down, Ben. This may be the first time we've ever been wrong. Maybe it's not about, well, we're not wrong because you could really use a reliable knockdown shooter, but maybe it was a third scorer that just finds a way to put the ball in the net on a consistent basis, whether that's at the foul line, whether that's taking jumpers or whether that's driving to the hoop, whatever it is. We just need not a reliable knockdown shooter to be a third scorer, a reliable player to be our third scorer. So even when I think I'm wrong, I'm still right.
We've just been handed down or passed along regarding these Nuggets, a statement from the NBA.
Why won't you die?
That is, yeah. Was that Adam Silver? What? What did Adam Silver say again?
Why won't you die?
Yeah, they don't want the Nuggets in the NBA Finals.
No.
They don't want the Nuggets to take out both the Clippers and the Lakers. That is their nightmare. But I would love to make that nightmare come true.
It'd be great. It would be great. There's no question about it.
Just take a big old drop in the NBA's plans.
Yeah, you think the ratings have been bad in the bubble? Because they were, I mean, initially, I don't know where they are right now. I haven't looked lately, but initially the ratings were way down.
Oh, they're coming. Oh, they've been coming back up.
They've been coming back up?
Yeah.
What would it look like if the Nuggets were in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, that's not how they drew it up.
No.
when they put all their contingencies and plans together for bubble life, they did not have the Nuggets.
Right.
In the NBA Finals. So. Which, and by the way, for all the people who complain about, oh, the Lakers get all the calls and the Lakers want, the NBA wants the Lakers in the finals, you may be right about all that, but there is no doubt that playing the Lakers in these conference finals brings along with it the kind of attention and the eyeballs and the commentary that you can't place a price on. If you're a team like the Nuggets, trying to gain a foothold, trying to gain respectability, trying to gain people's respect. You can't go wrong kind of being tethered along with the Lakers, especially when you go out and beat them.
Right, exactly. And that is, I mean, that's a big point, Mike, is you're caught up in that Laker vortex. And guess what? You're being introduced to America. Because most of America doesn't know you, and you're seeing the sublime skill of the Joker, and you're seeing the heart and the passion and just the playmaking ability of Murray, and you're going, ooh.
And Michael Malone is putting himself on the national stage as well.
Right. These guys are pretty good. Hey, where was Nugget Fanboy that wanted Michael Malone fired when they went down 3-1 to the Utah Jazz? Where's that guy?
That's gotten very quiet.
Yeah.
Geez, Adam Silver will not shut up. Okay, we heard you.
Why won't you die?
Relax.
He is just not happy about the Nuggets.
Kamish, it was only one win, all right? Don't worry. The Nuggets still need to get three more. Your nightmare is still a ways off, okay?
Yeah, they're not. And by the way, they're not even in an elimination situation yet, right? It's 2-1.
Wait until the Nuggets lose the next game and are down 3-1.
Yeah.
That's when your problems really begin.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Coming up, Mark has begun his deep dive into the Broncos film to prepare for his call of the Buccaneers-Broncos on Sunday for Fox. And some interesting observations of these young Bronco receivers he'll share with you coming up after we talk with our baseball insider, Rockies insider, Pedro Gomez. That is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.